Leary Guns. How is everybody doing?
Great.
Awesome, awesome. That's good. Welcome to the biweekly Q&A calls. If you're just now joining us, if it's your first one, we have these calls the first and third or second and fourth?
Second and fourth.
Second and fourth, Monday of every month. And thank you for that. I couldn't remember. I was going to look it up. So we just do Q&A, and I'm here to answer any questions, and I'll stay on as long as it takes. So everybody's usually pretty respectful and lets other people jump in and take turns. And just know that you can always reach me throughout the week if you need to, if you have any questions. So with that, let's just jump right in. Who has the first question? Anybody have a question about any deal you're working on or anything you need help with?
Hi, Larry. This is Paula Brock.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. Glad you made it.
Yeah. I have a question for you. I think I know the answer, but just to make sure. I have a tax sale property that I bought in Birmingham, and I was able to actually get in it here about a week and a half ago, and I'm thinking I need to change exit strategies. Originally, I was going to hold it for rent, but I'm wondering if I send you the details on that, can you give me your opinion on what you think a good exit strategy would be for it?
Yeah, I would be glad to. I can do it right here, right now, if you want.
Well, I don't have all the information I need just yet. Maybe I can give you the information. The house is in a not-so-good part of town. It's going to need extensive repairs.
Uh-huh.
The only good news here is that it didn't cost me a lot to buy it. But, you know, when you're buying those tax sale properties, you buy them sight unseen. So
sure.
Had I known what I was getting into, I wouldn't have bought this one more than likely. But I'm wondering if the house has some some foundational issues.
Right.
And it has some windows that are broken out. So I'm wondering if I was going to bring this house up to a level where other investors might be interested in it, I'm trying to decide what repairs to do and what repairs to leave alone.
How much do you have in this house?
Well, I only paid about $5,000 for the house, but it cost me a little north of $16,000 in legal fees to get possession of it.
So you have $21,000 in it.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And how much in repairs does it need?
Well, I've got a bid coming to me. I'm gonna say it's probably, this is a wild stab, but probably $40,000.
Okay. And once you do the $40,000 in repairs, what will it be worth?
Well, it probably won't be worth as much as I have in it. It might be worth what I have in it. Maybe. It's going to be borderline.
Okay. So you're saying it's probably worth, what, $50,000 to $60,000?
Probably, yep.
Okay. So let's just say 60 times 0.7, that's 42, minus 40 in repairs. That's $2,000. the problem is, it would be very difficult to owner finance it because of the amount of work it needs.
Mm-hmm.
However,
oh yeah, yeah.
However, you know, that might be the only way you're going to see your money out of it, because based on it needing 40 in work and it's only worth 60 and you already have 20 in it, there's no equity.
Right.
So do you need to get your money back right away, or can you leave your money invested?
Well, I can probably leave my money invested. I don't know about putting anything additional into it is my challenge. All right, so you're saying if I did an owner finance that I would need to go ahead and do the repairs?
No, I'm saying owner finance it as is.
Oh, okay.
But owner finance it, you know, offer it to an investor. Fix and flip or fix and rent property, owner financing, you know, $5,000 down or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, because I'll be real honest. At this point, my goal is to just if I can break even, I'll be a happy camper at this stage.
Right. Well, I think realistically, unless you find somebody that's a do-it-yourselfer, fixer-upper, what I would do is I would put it out there and put two prices. I would say the owner finance price is $40,000 with five down, or I would say, you know, or deep discount for all cash, and then have somebody pay you 25 for all cash if you can get that.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay. Well, yeah, that sounds like a good plan because that's a couple of options.
Yeah.
That might get an investor's thoughts rolling.
Do you own it already?
I do, unfortunately, yes.
First thing I would do is list it on the MLS and get it on Zillow and Craigslist.
Okay.
And then I would put out a bunch of owner financing signs all around it and all around the neighborhood and in the front yard that say owner financing, 40K, 5K down, or deep discount for all cash. Fixer-upper needs rehab. Total rehab, you could say.
Okay.
So that way the people calling know that it needs a total rehab.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's in Birmingham?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. And where do you live?
I'm in Fort Worth.
Okay. All right. So you could also put it out to Jack Hires Group, the Birmingham RIA down there.
Okay.
Yeah, Jack Iyer, E-Y-E-R, I believe is the way he spells his name. But he's got a group down there. It's pretty active. They got a lot of, you know, they got a lot of active investors. So I would mention it to him, see if he can help you.
Okay. Excellent.
Good. I hope
that
helps.
Oh, big time. Thanks so much. I will definitely do that.
Sure. Let me know how that goes, too.
Okay.
Awesome. Good. Anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry, this is Corey in Utah. How you doing?
What's going on? How have you been?
Good. But hey, my question is, okay, things have changed this year in general in the market quite a bit. And so what would you say are the most important things to focus on? What has changed the most in seller financing and in wholesaling?
Okay.
Things to watch out for.
Right now, I believe we're either close or at the top of the market. So right now what I'm doing is I'm wholesaling just about everything. Unless it's in like a retirement account or something. So I'm buying and selling and buying and selling and buying and selling. Now if it's in a retirement account, that's something different, right? You know, if I'm keeping it long term.
Yeah.
In a retirement account. But we're just building a war chest, building a nest egg to be able to take advantage of the market when the prices drop. Is that kind of similar to what you see out in Utah?
Yeah, completely true. You know, I'm an appraiser, and that's really what I feel like is going on. We've got a lot of good things that in Utah that have really improved the economy. You know, a lot more high-paying tech jobs now than there were in 2007, and so the economy is a little bit different because of that. But it, the prices have gone way, way up. And the cool thing is, though, and I'm wondering if this might be okay for seller financing, because I have a VA who has worked for other investors, and she's finding little rural deals all over, but I really don't think I'm going to find cash buyers to rehab those. Instead,
well, just remember, depending on the price range now, okay? Depending on the price range, but we buy and sell a lot of properties in small towns. And I'll tell you who most of our buyers are, okay? You would think that, you know, you would need to sell them to fix and flip investors or landlords, but in the small towns, especially as long as the price is low enough, you're going to find that you can sell them to people who just have cash and want to buy a house to fix it up, move into it, or even more than that, we sell a lot of them to people who are buying it for a son or a daughter or a grandchild. And we just sold a house like 2 weeks ago to a guy who's buying it for his daughter and son-in-law for them to be able to own a house close to the parents, and they pay cash. You know, the parents have cash. In fact, this guy pulled out money from his 401k to buy his daughter the house, and they wanted to fix it up and then have the daughter refinance it and pay him off. So I said, well, if she's going to refinance it and pay you back, go ahead and put it in her name, as long as you feel comfortable with that. Put it in her name. Then once you get it all fixed up, then she could just go get a loan to refinance it and pay you off. It's going to be much easier for her to get a refinance loan if she owns it free and clear than it is for her to get a loan to buy it from you. So that's exactly what they did. And they have cash. Now, bear in mind, most of the properties I'm talking about, we're selling them for $40,000, $50,000, $60,000. We're not talking about a $200,000 house here. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense, and I see where you're going with that. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but it might be good to check into, kind of in the same vein, seller looking for seller financers for these properties. Who
you need to buy them with seller financing?
Or, well, not necessarily, because that is where, you know, for me, that's the trick because of, you know, I really need more wholesale deals to be able to buy the seller financing houses, to have the cash to buy that.
Right.
To buy those.
Now, listen, you know, I love seller financing, but if you need cash now, which a lot of people do, if you need cash now, buy it and wholesale it. Because if you want to sell or finance it and you got to sell the note to get paid, you got to buy it, sell it, then you got to find another note buyer to buy the note from you to cash out the deal. So my suggestion is wholesale and then use the wholesale money to buy your properties free and clear and sell or finance them.
Yeah, and that's definitely my plan. The tricky thing around here is really finding the wholesale properties.
Uh-huh.
And you know,
it is tough where you are.
Yeah, I mean, just the competition is crazy. There's so many people trying to do the same thing.
Right, right. Are you in? Where are you? What city are you in?
Well, I'm kind of by Provo, so just south of Salt Lake, but.
Okay.
So it really the center of Utah's population is called the Wasatch Front.
Uh-huh.
It goes from Ogden down to this little town called Santaquin.
Right. Okay.
And that's where you'd want to look. That's where the cash buyers, the flippers, that they almost always want houses in that area.
Yeah.
But there's hardly any good deals at all in that area right now. and they just get snatched up by people who have these crazy systems on finding them. And, you know, there are people, there are companies a lot like the Goins Group here that, you know, that bring in their own investor trainees, and they have, they kind of dominate the market. He's the guy who owns the biggest one is really almost like Donald Trump in that he has enough influence to bully wholesalers and other people into selling him their properties and threatening blacklisting and things like that if you don't sell him the property and all that. So
yeah, it's a tough market and there's a lot of competition, but there's plenty of places out there to buy houses. I've got another Inner Circle student that lives out there right in Salt Lake, and he's buying in Georgia right now.
Yeah, yeah. And I need to check into that. I know you often talk about expanding, you know, going wider or deeper. And,
correct.
And I agree with that. I've been trying to go deeper in this market.
Yeah,
and,
so you have to either look for more sources to find deals, you know, Bird Dogs, co-wholesaling, Craigslist, bandit signs, website, pay-per-click, Facebook ads, or just expand your territory and go out to another area and expand your geographic footprint.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
And that may be what I need to do is get into other states too.
Yeah, maybe so, maybe so. Let me know if I can help you with any of that.
Okay, yeah, sounds good, thanks.
Awesome, good, good. Anybody else have a question? I know we don't have near as many people on tonight as we normally have on. That's why it's kind of quiet, I guess.
Hi, Larry, this is Teresa, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. I have a question.
Sure.
I found a property. Actually, I was looking for some properties and things on Craigslist, and I connected with an investor up in the Winston-Salem area who has some properties he's trying to sell.
Uh-huh.
And then I met another guy who is an investor in Columbia who has a customer down there who wants to buy a property and in that area. And so I asked the guy to send me information on it. Well, he sent me the link that had the pictures on it. So I looked at the pictures, but I didn't see, I saw pictures of everything in the house except the kitchen, and he included the kitchen and the rehab costs of $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
He says it needs HVAC, it needs a roof, and it needs a kitchen rehab. And so, of course, I wanted I'm trying to work my numbers to make sure that I'm doing this correctly. And he's asking for $85,000 for the house. It's a split level, two-car garage, 1.3 acres of land. And he says that the comps are coming in at 150 to 160, which I've got to verify.
Did you look up the comps yourself to verify that?
Right. I have not, but I plan to do that in just a few minutes.
Also, I would call a couple of agents and ask them, you know, tell them, hey, I've got a house over here in this neighborhood on this street. Here are the details. What could you sell it for? Right.
Okay. Ask them what they could
sell it
for.
So what did he say the comps are?
He said 150 to 160.
Okay, so 150.
But I feel like I need to go look at the house.
Right, right. So 150, at 150, 70% of that is going to be $105,000.
Right.
Minus 30 in repairs, right?
Right.
So now you're down to $75,000. And how much do you want to make?
Well, I wanted to make at least 20 on it.
So now you're down to 55,000.
Okay.
So if the ARV really is 150 and the repairs really are 30, if you pay him 55, you could sell it for 75. Whoever buys it is going to put 30 in it, and they'll be in at 105, and it'll sell for 150.
Okay.
Yeah. But you said it's an investor trying to sell it?
Yes. He sent me an email with that and several other properties.
Is he wholesaling it or what?
Excuse me?
Is he wholesaling it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, in my opinion, his numbers are a little too high. He should be wholesaling it at 75.
Well, I thought so, too. I actually was kind of running some numbers on it myself, and I kind of went a little lower than 75 myself. But I didn't feel comfortable not knowing the condition of the kitchen since I didn't get any pictures on that. I didn't know if it would be a total rehab or not.
You should be looking for your own deals instead of buying them from wholesalers.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've already negotiated the deal, got it under contract. They're adding their fee and selling it.
Okay.
Yeah, unless you're going to co-wholesale the deal with somebody like that, right?
Right. Well, see, I thought that it was something kind of maybe because I'm the middle person, reap some type of benefit from it. You know, I'm connecting two people. One person is going to sell a house and another person wants to buy the house and they don't know each other.
Yeah, but, well, think about this. Then now there's two people in the middle. The person that you're buying it from is a wholesaler.
Mm-hmm.
They're buying it from a seller.
Mm-hmm.
They're offering it to you. You're offering it to an end buyer.
Right.
There's too many people involved in that.
Okay.
Yeah. You need to go find your own deal where you're direct to seller and buyer, unless you're co-wholesaling it.
Okay.
And then you would be co-wholesaling it for the 89.9 and splitting their profit.
Okay.
Don't be afraid to ask an investor over the phone, how much are you paying for this house?
Okay.
Don't be afraid to say that.
Okay.
Yeah. How much are you paying for this house?
Okay.
And I would just tell them, hey, you know, based on my numbers, it looked like you need to be wholesaling this for 75. You're asking 89.9. How many of these deals have you done? Seems like that's kind of high price.
Okay. All righty. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. I hope that helps.
Okay.
Good, good, good. How have you been, by the way?
I've been doing well.
Good.
Still
I haven't
plugging
heard
at
from you in a while.
I know. I'm supposed to email you every 2 weeks, and I missed the last 2 weeks.
You know what? You have.
I did.
Everybody's supposed to email me every 2 weeks.
That is correct.
Yeah. Well, you keep up the good work.
I will. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else have a question? Anybody else have a question?
Larry, are you still here?
Yeah.
Hey, I just wanted to ask you one other question. This is Phil Cleveland.
Sure.
I haven't been receiving emails about the Monday night calls, and that's why I haven't logged on. So are you still doing them every Monday night?
Yes, we're still doing, like, this call is the second and fourth Monday, and then we have the ASAP calls the first, excuse me, the first and third Monday as well.
Yes, yeah, I used to receive notifications on every time there was going to be a call on Monday night, and I hadn't received any about a month.
Well, I'm glad you told me about that. I'll look into that.
Yeah, it's been about a month.
Those are autoresponders, and sometimes those things get messed up.
Yeah.
I'll check into that and find out what's going on, see if I can make sure that, you know, everybody gets their...
That might be why some other people haven't logged in, because they didn't receive a notification either.
Maybe so. We're getting ready to update the phone numbers as well, though.
Okay.
Yeah, we are. We're getting ready to update the phone numbers and add a few things, so hopefully you'll be able to log in. You'll be able to get those emails. Good. Awesome. Anybody else have a question? Looks like it might be a short call tonight. Anybody else have a question? Well, just know, guys, that you can email me anytime in between these calls, larry@larrygoins.com. Just shoot me an email, and I'll be more than happy to answer it anytime. If you guys have emailed me in the past, you know I'm pretty quick to respond. And... with any questions at all that you might have. And we really, really appreciate your business. Keep getting out there and making a lot of these offers. That is the key. Right now, you got to make a lot of offers, okay, to get a deal. But you can still get deals. We just got an offer accepted, I believe it was Friday, that it was listed for 34.5 or 34.9. And we picked it up for, I believe it was 13.5, or it might have been 15.3, somewhere around the mid-teens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's less than 50%, and it's a HUD house, and it's in Georgia. So you can still get deals. They're still out there. We're getting them every week. So sometimes we'll get one deal. Sometimes we'll get two. Some weeks we'll get three deals in a week. So just keep making offers. And that's just HUD houses I'm talking about. Also, you can buy stuff on the MLS, you know, put bandit signs out, Craigslist ads, bird dogs. There's so many different ways to do deals. So keep up the good work and let me know if you guys need anything. And remember that I'm here for you with whatever it is that you need. And just shoot me an email or give me a call in between these calls if you need anything. All right,
hey,
guys?
Hey, Larry.
Yes.
Larry, I just wanted to say one thing. I made an offer on a HUD house maybe back in August, and I've been going back and forth with this realtor, and I was going up maybe $500 to $800 on my offer, or maybe $1,000 at the most. And we're still probably $10,000 or $15,000 apart. And the last time he emailed me, he told me that he was not going to put an offer in for me anymore because he felt that we were too far apart. Is he obligated to put an offer in that I make?
I don't know if he's obligated or not. I mean, I don't. They say that, you know, if you make an offer, the realtor has to present it. But I don't ever push that issue because, number one, they probably have a good idea. But, number two, I don't want to make them mad, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're only making an offer on one HUD house, and the agent is getting frustrated, you got the wrong agent anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. All
righty.
My 2 cents.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else have a question? All right, guys. Well, I appreciate you guys being on tonight. Thank you very much for your business. and let me know if there's anything at all I could do to help you between now and the next call. Thanks a lot, guys. I hope everybody
Thank
has
you,
a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye,
Thanks,
everybody.
Larry.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.